Hello, I'm Laura Castleton, U.S. Head of Portfolio Construction and Strategy at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of brighter futures for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Good Tuesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. Futures are solid, and it's all about earnings today, as more than a dozen S&Pers either affirm or raise guidance, including GE, GM, Lockheed, Spotify, Raytheon, UPS, Danaher. Oil below 81 doesn't hurt. Our roadmap begins with an earnings ramp-up. We mentioned some names, Pepsi as well, all crossing the tape. We'll dig into the numbers.
Plus, Tesla is on deck. The shares, by the way, at a 15-month low. Investors, of course, are bracing for what could be the company's worst results in 7 years. And Apple's China concern, new data signaling a 19% tumble in iPhone shipments, that's in the country, would be, if in fact it is the case, the worst performance in 4 years for Apple in China.
Let's begin with earnings, as the markets do look to extend yesterday's rebound rally. Jim, there's a lot of big industrials we can go to.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know we can focus on Tesla. I want to focus on Mary Barra. Mary Barra had an unbelievable quarter. I mean, and I say, when I say unbelievable, I mean, like, they delivered on everything that she's been talking about. They only want to make cars that they make money on, cars and trucks. They did a very, very good job, and we can talk forever about Elon Musk, because Elon Musk is fascinating, and Mary Barra is workmanlike. But you know what? Workmanlike is what works when you're doing cars. And that raised guidance, David, was extraordinary.
As was the beat, frankly.
Very good.
How is it that the analysts miss it by that much?
Well, is that rhetorical?
I don't know. It just feels like that's not something that should be that far off when it comes to GM.
Look, I agree. I mean, I was not modeling GM, but I was expecting her to crush it just like I expected her for Ford to crush it. Because, you see, they're ICE, all right? They don't have to worry. You know, Jonas. Okay, let's talk about Jonas. Jonas said what's bad for Tesla is good for Ford and GM. So let's give him his due.
Okay. Well, it is proving good, at least. We'll see how the stock opens. But right now it's looking up almost as much as 5%. Again,
like
on the numbers. And you pointed out yesterday the buyback, which is not insignificant.
And
of course,
Ford better do a buyback because, yeah, see, Ford is just languishing with all this Bill Ford pays dividend. Carl, I don't want a dividend. Well, it's not, baby, you got a good dividend, but I really want a buyback. Look at how much she sopped up. She's very strong.
Great stat out of Bespoke this morning. In terms of, they call it a triple play, meaning you beat on the top line, beat on the bottom line, and raise. GM's done it 5 of 6 quarters.
Well, I mean, maybe because she's not having an existential crisis, we don't care.
I, you know, the multiple always is interesting.
Well, you mean the lowest in the S&P other than the financials?
Yeah, just talk us through that, Jim. Why? I mean, it's always been the case, or certainly for a very long period of time, this thing just does not get a serious multiple. You're talking about a company that's going to have adjusted automotive free cash flow of a range now of $8.5 to $10.5 billion. Let's say they get to the towards the top of that range. Talking about starting the day at least with a $50 billion market cap, so 5 times adjusted automotive free cash flow.
David, if you felt that the world was going toward ICE and away from ICE and toward EV, if you thought the state of California was going to just end ICE, which a lot of people think it might do, then what do you do with that company? That company is an ICE-oriented company.
Understood, but I mean, at this rate, in 5 years, they could buy back the entire company with their free cash flow.
Look, I think the stock is ridiculously undervalued, and Ford is one of my largest positions for the charitable trust. I agree with you. See, I think the answer, David, is that it's wrong.
Okay.
I mean, no, listen to me. We have a lot of stocks that are misvalued here. Look, if it's enterprise software, Carl, it can sell at 40 times sales. But if it makes something that people think is going to be obviated by events, not unlike what people feel about refineries. And people feel we're not going to have refineries, so the refineries sell a ridiculously low multiple. Meanwhile, you have MRO buying back every single share. So the answer is that you do exactly what Mary is doing, and you do exactly what Marathon Oil is doing, and then you come back with a low multiple where you buy every single share, and you have a stock that makes you a lot of money versus Tesla, which was doing well, but is not. I mean, you know, you can flip a switch.
Implied volatility for Tesla tonight, I think, is the highest in about a year and a half, right? About 9% either way.
Well, look, if he has any free cash flow, then I think that the bears are going to have to eat some crow. The bears like crow.
You think at this level the stock is discounting what, a lot of the potential bad news?
I think that there's two situations. I think that this is starting to, yes, if they have free cash flow, it's positive. Too much, it's bad news that everybody knows. And if Apple does 19% decline in China, it's like enough. I mean, what everybody thinks is, well, wow, revelatory, 19%. Revelatory, Nick's up by two. I mean, you know, honestly, why do you do that? Why do you act as if it's news that China, that Apple's doing poorly in China? I mean, no kidding.
Interesting survey out of Morgan Stanley today, Katie Huberty. 2,000 Chinese consumers surveyed. 25% think they'll spend more next month. That's down 9 points from January. And they're citing everything from income worries to job worries.
Look, the narrative that Apple must adopt is that if you look at Indonesia and Brazil and Turkey and India and Mexico and Vietnam, you've got growth markets that will overtake China. But we are fixated on China because a lot of people, obviously. But the Chinese economy is not growing. The Chinese populace is not growing. India does not have the infrastructure to support 400 stores yet. But David, I think that if you're going to be levered to India, I think you have the edge over country people that are levered to China.
All of which is to say, this news does not shake you.
I think I've been saying the stock goes to 160 for ages, and it's still not there yet. And it's going to get there. And then when it gets there, we're going to rethink it. But, you know, look, if you want to put a 19 multiple on it and you want to give it a haircut of what it might earn, you have a $135 stock. Do you think that the, you know, it's a $6. Do you think that the analysts and the big institutions won't come in and buy the stock at 130, where it would be valued at a market multiple on an estimate cut of about 7%, which is what people are implying?
Mm-hmm. Okay, but that doesn't sound like a reason to buy the stock here.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying buy here.
No,
I'm saying that I don't think it gets to the 19 multiple.
I see.
I don't. I feel uncomfortable that it's selling at 24.25, given the fact that all the data points indicate it's going to be flat, and it's very difficult for any analyst to say, you know what, we got a stock that's flat, and we got a. We have a value.
Well, not
have,
stock that's flat.
We have,
revenue.
We have numbers
no,
that are flat.
No real revenue.
Right.
Growth.
No revenue growth. It's very hard to defend. I know that it's very hard to defend. But we do have a new iteration coming out. And I think that someone could say, well, listen, with the developers conference, we'll come up with something. But I don't think people want it to trade down to where it would be a market multiple and earn $6.
Right. Speaking of China, at least, Pepsi did say China revenue up double digit.
Well, you know, Ramon is doing something that I've been waiting for PepsiCo to do for some time, which is to flood the zone internationally. And LaGuardia's really smart. He just came back from India. He's making a lot of money in China. Now, Dave, what people are going to say is that, wait a second, U.S. is nothing special. But what he's doing is saying, I'm going for profitable growth. I'm no longer just go for rev growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how you come up with that number. I like the number because I've always been wondering, when are they going to move into China? They have a good DCC number, too. But obviously, there was a recall with Quaker that hurt them. But I think that PepsiCo is becoming more of an international company than it has been. Europe is very strong.
Europe is strong.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying the stock's not up because we're so ethnocentric in this country. If you're not blown away in the U.S., we think that you screwed up. But I think that I've been waiting for profitable growth forever. I don't want a price war forever between Coke and Pepsi. Nobody wins. I like them moving aggressively overseas.
Yeah, organic up almost 3, even with volume down 5/10, Jim. So they did make some on price.
It was a good quarter. But now, look, the only thing that happens, the stock ran in the last couple of days. It's almost like people said, you know what, I'm not going to let this thing go to 170. I mean, well, there's a lot of stuff like that where I'm seeing stocks that, like, where people just said, wait a second, enough is enough. We had that with Procter & Gamble, 154, enough is enough. We had it with American Express, 212, enough is enough. There's like my top.
Your what? Your top? What top?
To the top of the show tonight.
I do another
enough
show.
Enough is enough.
Mad Money. You and my wife.
Yeah,
you and my
show.
Wife.
So your point is that there are hands out to catch the baby.
That's good, too.
We could just write his show right here, David.
Hey, a little Passover stuff.
I think we should write his show right here.
It's a show about nothing. You know that.
Why wouldn't it be?
Hands out to catch a baby. And Brown Shoots is my other thing. We have Brown Shoots.
Like when you trotted that out last week, that was good.
People love that.
We did.
Brown Shoots and Apple Belt and Road.
I was doing Belt and Road. I like that. And then my belt broke. Jason likes my stuff. Jason Gortz. You ever look at his stuff?
Jason Gortz, yes.
He mentions me a lot.
You got good stuff. You really. Your material is getting better.
But did I have Anthropic? Did I have Anthropic?
No, you didn't.
Dianu partner.
By the way, they did it right up there, too.
I know. And what was I doing?
Right up there.
What was I doing? Brushing my teeth.
They had Perplexity and Anthropic on the last hour,
two hours
on Squawk Box. Yeah, it's interesting listening, obviously. It's such an important
overall for everything. If people want to learn, you want to learn?
Competition between these large language models.
Oh, I thought it was competition between us and Andrew.
Between corporate Darwinism at work.
I love Andrew.
Love him. They shouldn't let him in this building, but
no,
I love him.
No, that's okay. Yeah. I'm not allowed in the NASDAQ.
No. That shouldn't be allowed.
No, I'm not kidding.
No, I'm not kidding either.
When I'm allowed to try to get, you can have an interview with the NASDAQ. I saw him. No way.
We love Andrew.
Jim, what was more impressive, GM or GE?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, GE. Larry Culp. Look, what can you say? Larry Culp delivered a number. Did you look at the backlog? You see the backlog there?
202?
I mean, you know, come on.
Well, that's Raytheon.
I mean, look, Raytheon, Greg Hayes, his swan song. David.
Yes.
This was Greg Hayes' last.
Wait, you're moving on from GE Aerospace to Raytheon already?
I'm A-linear.
Yes,
and
we know.
Obviously, and crazy.
All right, don't get distracted. Let's focus on GE Aerospace for a moment.
All right.
Because
we're
talking about the backlog related to GE.
Yeah.
And then we can do Greg Hayes' swan song at Raytheon. But obviously, the first quarter since the split, since it is now a fully independent company.
Although
it did
have
Vernova as well.
Vernova
was still a part of the quarter.
But they broke it out because they're honest people.
Total orders up 34%.
No, think about that. Will you?
34%. Hello.
Well, remember how they're set up. They are levered to travel. They are levered to planes that you have to continue to maintain because our friends at Boeing are offering not really a clue of how many planes they can produce.
Right.
So GE had to, everybody had to estimate, Raytheon had to up RTX. They all had to estimate how much business there's going to be because of problems with Boeing. But believe me, they do well. They do well either way because they do engines. Pratt Whitney had a beautiful number. I don't know if you saw the Pratt Whitney number.
Whitney number.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not allowed to jump from one to one. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going
to
say, it's a nice segue because Pratt was up 23.
Thank you. And I've got to tell you, this defense bill is fantastic for them, particularly Ukraine. They're sending them the best. They already have RTX in the Mideast waiting to give it to Israel.
Well, you're talking about the Patriot missiles.
Yeah, well, they actually have other missiles, too.
Others as well, yeah.
Patriots $1 million around.
There's a look. They seem to, I mean, the stock, remember, for quite some time, it was held back by the turbofan, by the problems.
And you know that recall was a simple recall, and they didn't have nearly as much hoopla as Boeing because it wasn't as dangerous. But even an ounce of danger, you got to pull.
Who's going to become the CEO of Boeing?
I floated the idea.
I mean, it's early still.
Greg Hayes should be the CEO of Boeing. It was like laughing. I got laughter.
From Greg?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because Greg does not want that job because Greg is going out on a high. And I'm thinking, who's going to take that job?
I mean, I don't know why Culp would leave a $170 billion market value company for Boeing now.
Culp is not leaving.
And Culp's comp has got to be, because I assume I got to take a look.
I don't think he plays for comp. He doesn't play for comp.
Oh.
He plays. What?
All right, fine.
Mahomes didn't play for comp initially. He's the Mahomes of aerospace.
Larry Culp is the Mahomes of aerospace.
Mahomes aerospace.
Yeah. Got it.
There you go. He'll like that too. Hey, Larry. maybe he thinks he should be the Andy Reid, since Andy Reid's now the highest paid coach in the NFL.
Why wouldn't he be?
Clark Hunt.
Won two in a row.
Good owner.
Anything else you want to talk about?
Your guy's a rich owner. He's just
my guy.
Guys left and right.
Which guy?
The Jets.
Oh, Johnson?
Yeah.
Broncos and Wilson. That's what I got that.
I like the
Broncos. Take a look at the pre-market here. We're going to dive into so many more numbers today, including Danaher, Lockheed, Spotify. Not all earnings stocks are up today. We'll watch Xerox, Sherwin-Williams, UPS. Tough story on ARK and the Journal. When we come return.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Advertising. You got a big applause. You didn't sound like you were going to advertise that much, but you did at least seem to open the way to saying, okay, we might consider doing some advertising. Why?
Well, I mean, I believe in listening to shareholders, and I actually was surprised by the level of enthusiasm for advertising, since we have not historically done that. But there perhaps is some good logic to it in that if we're simply sending out information via, say, the Tesla Twitter account or my Twitter account, we're somewhat preaching to the converted, and not reaching people that are not already convinced, essentially. So I think they probably have a good point. I think it's worth a try, and we'll see how effective it is.
Do you have it?
Tesla CEO Elon Musk, that was, of course, our interview from last May, talking about the company's at least possible foray into advertising, because it was something he had mentioned at the annual meeting, which directly preceded our interview. Now a bit of an about-face ahead of earnings tonight. Tesla is scaling back its marketing team. Elon Musk tweeting yesterday that the ads were too generic and could have been for any car. Of course, we've already talked a bit about what we can expect in terms of results tonight, the volatility that may result in the stock price, Jim, but he does seem focused.
Very much so. And that's why I say, look, there's no rabbit out of a hat, I don't think. But the stock reflects a very big loss. And if there's anything less than a loss, I think some institutions are going to come in. Not Cathie Wood, who bought it yesterday. I mean, like, not Ron Barron. I mean, the people who are true believers. I'm talking about actual institutions who might come in and say, you know what, this stock is at the right level. Versus, say, Apple, where people are going to say, look, I'm not going to let this thing go to 19 times earnings. This is not that kind of situation. This is and here's what we're going to do. We got a roadmap. It looks like that the initial Cybertruck is better. We're going to stimulate demand. We've got to be able to, we can do 250,000. I don't hear that.
Right.
But maybe it's possible. I know Ford felt that they could sell more than they have.
But, I mean, again, the dynamics of the marketplace have changed.
Yes, they have.
And they've changed rather dramatically. A, in terms of just overall consumer demand, yes, there is absolutely growth. We don't mean to imply there isn't, but the growth rate seems to be slowing to a certain extent in terms of adoption here in the U.S., certainly. And then you've got this enormous competition from Chinese EV makers in other parts of the world,
and
not to mention the domestic market of China itself.
Robotaxi is a dodge. I mean, that's
Robotaxi at this point, it's not about, promises aren't going to work anymore, right?
I totally agree with you. And that's why I think that you have to hope that people just say, you know what, we thought that there was going to be a big loss. There wasn't. Maybe the company's doing better than we thought. And it's therefore, Carl, it's okay to step in. That's the only logic I have.
The award of stock, Carl, that shareholders will be voting on, remember, in terms of his compensation, is a lot less, worth a lot less than it was.
That's a good point.
Keeps coming down.
Good note out of Barclays today, looking at how and why Musk and the company really pivoted hard toward Texas, Jim, because in Barclays' view, that's a regulatory zone where you could take long shots on autonomous.
Look, I think everyone in Detroit would like to go somewhere else now, but they're deeply committed to Detroit, and they're never going to do that because that's the home. But if Toyota passes Tesla, can you imagine?
Well, and then you got the UAW piece on CNN today, looking at the victory in Volkswagen, where that's going to lead, what it's doing to the labor market in the South, Southern manufacturing.
Look, you're going to see a boom in Mexico like you would believe, because Mexico is where you can make it. You don't have pollution control laws. You make $5 an hour. The transportation, you just go right up KSU. I mean, that's what's going to happen. I don't think people understand that. I don't think the unions understand that. I mean, look, Trump didn't like it. Biden, they're not aware.
They're not aware?
I don't think you're arguing for $5 an hour.
No, they're not aware of how you can buy. You can make a car in Mexico and put just enough American in it that the Biden people can't fight it. That's all I'm saying.
I think they may be aware of that.
But no, okay. I'm saying that if you talk with Phil LeBeau, Phil will tell you, you can kind of play with the rules.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. They're not aware, meaning they got to be able to say, look, it's, now if you have 25% Mexico, no, we're going to give you a tariff.
Kramer's Mad Dash in the opening bell after a break.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Got some AI enthusiasm reasserting itself with AMD, Meta, NVIDIA on the NDX gainer list this morning, along with Datadog at the top as Wells goes to 150 prior 130. Opening bell a few moments away, and don't forget, you can catch us anytime, anywhere. Just listen to and follow the Squawk on the Street Opening Bell podcast.
All right, let's squeeze in a Mad Dash for an opening bell. Kimberly Clark.
They announced a restructuring on Mad Money, Michael Hsu, and it was a restructuring that really put the wood to a lot of people because they felt that they didn't need as many, and it was very tough to do. Obviously, this is a kind of almost like a family-like environment, but you saw it. You saw the greatness. There had been a lot of different things. Your earnings per share now looking for low teens. It had been high single-digit. Revenues, they were looking for now high single-digit. They were looking for mid-single-digit to low single-digit. I mean, this is just a remarkable turn.
So the guidance has improved dramatically.
Yes.
Along with this quarterly report.
And revenues are good. Revenues are good. The $2 billion free cash flow is extraordinary. I cannot believe the guy was like hiding in plain sight. He came on. He announced it. It was a remarkable restructuring. Nobody cared at all. I told him, I think his stock's going to be up a couple bucks tomorrow. Completely wrong. Delayed reaction. This is what I mentioned about the market getting things wrong. Look at that. Right. He told you everything. Everything.
But you got to make sure they can actually execute.
I think he's an executioner.
Right?
He's an executioner.
Let's get to the opening bell here in the CNBC real-time exchange. And the big board is Lithia Motors, an auto dealership at the NASDAQ medical device company QT Imaging Holdings.
I happen to like LAD very much. This is Lithia and Driveway. It's a very, very good company. The stock's been down. I think it's a kind of interesting one. It sells at 7x earnings. Apropos of what we're talking about, anything auto. Brian DeBoer is terrific, and he lives in the town of Ashland, where my daughter lives.
Oh, very nice.
And this was where my daughter bought her car, and it's like it was a fabulous experience. It's almost as good as Carvana, David.
Almost
as good as Carvana.
Carvana's got the giant.
Where you put the coin in.
Giant vending machine car thing.
Well, that
can't beat that.
It's unstoppable.
Yeah.
Tell you what's interesting, Jim, is some of the commodity action today. Copper, worst day in a week. Aluminum, nickel, worst day in a year or two. Cocoa down 7. Oil below 82.
I knew cocoa was going to crash. That's why Hershey never really got crushed. You buy Hershey here because when you have a parabolic move in cocoa, it has always ended so badly that they obliterate the commodity. Let's see if coffee gets hit. That's been up 25%. I think Nucor last night, I happen to like Nucor very much. They're going to be on. Obviously, people are thinking that the worst is here. There were some actual things involving restructuring of internal costs. But there were a lot of, in March, there was a lot of weakness. And I'm beginning to develop along with my brown shoots, a March weakness theory.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Sherwin-Williams, demand choppiness.
March weakness.
That's a double miss.
March weakness. That was very surprising. Are people selling Home Depot on that? I don't know.
Even UPS, Jim, average daily volume down 3, although Carol Tomei said
she made
improved
pledges.
During the quarter.
She made pledges. There are people who feel that she's too optimistic. I think that she made a pledge and she's going to live up to it. I actually believe in her here. I think she's going to live up to it.
You do?
Yes, because there was no need to do it. No need to do it whatsoever. She did not need to put herself out.
Well, the stock is up fractionally, at least, in the early going. I got a stock that's up a lot more than that.
Novartis?
Percentage-wise. No.
Narasimhan?
Nope. Keep trying.
IBRX?
Nope. Spotify.
You had to do that.
What do you mean, had to do it? It's up 14%. Was it upsetting you somehow?
No, it's just that it's just so good. When I did my game plan this week, I said, listen,
about
just
Spotify
go buy Spotify. No, I said, go buy Spotify. No one listens. No one cares.
No one cares.
I do the show in a mirror.
Yes, you might as well.
I said, just go buy Spotify. Well. Like, here's my game plan. Go buy Spotify.
Why don't you just go down by the subway there, stand on the street, and do the show there?
I would do it.
Yeah.
Why shine shoes?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. I said, this is my best one for next week. No one cares.
3.64 billion euro, a bit above the street. Gross margin was 27.6%. That was better than had been anticipated by many of the analysts who follow the company. The operating margin of 4.6%, again, above at least where many analysts were at 4.2%. And they did guide for the second quarter premium subscribers to 245 million. That was a little bit below, I'm told. But overall, guys, as you get the picture here,
you know,
margins, earnings,
right.
And
the average revenue per user is extraordinary year over year. 615 million versus 550 million. David, this is the way Netflix used to be. Remember when Netflix, what it would be like, the numbers would come out and you'd say, like, wow, how'd they do that? This is the new Netflix. Netflix.
They've been focusing to a certain extent on efficiencies like so many other companies. Remember, the podcasting effort has definitely waned and how much money they were spending on that.
Right. Although price hikes are getting digested pretty well. Deutsche last week went to 340. They were at 260, Jim, because they think the price hike got so well received, there's going to be more.
Well, I just think that it's an extremely well-run company. Julia Borson had some very good comments. She spoke with Danek, and all I can say is that this is a company that is chronically undervalued, and I don't understand it. I mean, can't people understand it's a good company? It's a subscription business. One of the things that we've learned to love is if you have a subscription business, the stock can go higher. Now, Netflix, when they talked about the idea that you can no longer multiply the person by the fee, mm-hmm. that was so hated.
Netflix saying a year from now they're going to no longer give us their KPIs, no longer give us
that
subscription
numbers.
Killed it.
It just killed it. Just give it to us.
And by the way, why did you need to tell us a year out other than you think they're not going to be
good? It was a suboptimal call, and I love Netflix, but holy cow, that call was like, hey, let me be the bad guy. We're not going to give you what you want. Let me be the bad guy. Why do I need a bad guy for? I just want good guys.
How about Wells taking Disney to 141?
Oh, my God. That was like, wow. Nirvana. Talking about the parks being strong, I mean, the stock kind of has been weak since, say, Nelson didn't win that.
The parks a bit weak, but the market caps are converging once again, Netflix and Disney. It's always interesting to watch them.
Well, did you read the Wells notes?
I mean, Netflix is still, let's call it, almost 40 billion bigger, but.
You had to do that, yeah.
What? I had to do
what? No, it's like that's the comparison. It's fatuous.
It's a fatuous,
it's a fatuous comparison.
What, Netflix and Disney?
Well, market it's endless. Caps? I'm like tired of it.
You're tired of it. I haven't done it in
years. Having gone through the proxy war, I don't need to hear it anymore. I think that I still think that Nelson could have been a value person.
Oh, my God. We're still going to be hearing about this? Hey, you lost. Your side lost.
Me, I lost.
You lost.
I lost.
Yes,
yeah,
right. You lost.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Was it rigged, Jim?
Yeah, it was. I planted the Nelson article in the Times. Okay. You
that
planted
was,
the Nelson article in the Journal.
I was like, yeah, which one was the nice one?
Why did that Wells piece come out? What was the genesis of the Wells piece?
I don't know.
With the proxy fight over, we think management will focus on execution, sports stabilizing,
where was that?
DTC upside. Yeah, I mean,
that's why Jimmy Pitaro should be named the CEO.
Oh, my God.
But, okay. When I worked for Roger
Ailes. That is not a
when
surprise.
I worked for Roger
yes,
Ailes,
we know
he said, what?
That they're going to be focused on doing all the things they said they're going to do. So they continue to. Wells apparently thinks they're going to be successful at it. Warner Brothers
Mike
Discovery.
Mike Chappell Trust has a huge position
which
in
you have been somewhat supportive of lately,
now?
Warner Brothers Discovery.
He had good seats last night, right behind the Sixers.
Zaslav?
Right behind the Sixers.
Oh, yeah, with McEnroe, right?
Yeah. Really amazing seats.
Interesting.
Yeah, see, that stopped you. That stopped you in your tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were, like, talking. You were
Johnny
like,
Matt, man, a Queens come boy up like me. Went to the same high school. All right. Wolf Research this morning.
What? I went to the same high school?
Yeah. $44 billion of gross debt equals 9 years run rate free cash flow. Sits atop 2024 EBITDA of $9.8 billion. And that forecast relies upon $7.5 billion of high-margin linear TV advertising whose decline keeps accelerating. With these exposures and the bulk of merger synergies realized, we fear EBITDA peaked last year. They go to an underperform price target.
I know.
$7.
$7. Jesus. I guess that's the end of the Knicks tickets.
Oh, I don't think so.
Oh, really?
No, comp is fine. Comp is fine there because it's based on free cash flow. A lot of the metrics, well, $27 million and then the additional Zaz comp is based on free cash flow metrics.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something. I am rooting for him. All right?
Who?
Zaz.
Of course. Why not?
Okay, I just want to be sure.
You're
okay with it.
30 years.
I thought this piece was breakthrough because it said Turner over earning on aged NBA deal. Aged. What does that aged mean? It's like, you know, that Zaz. We already went through this thing yesterday where I said that I think that Jassy would like more and Jassy said no. So, but we don't know what Apple wants.
No, but the NBA deal is going to be a lot more expensive. And do they have the wherewithal to continue to actually have the same amount of games they do now at Warner Brothers Discovery? Probably not. Oh, here's a nice end to a game. Oh, is that the Knicks? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
NBA draft this week.
That's
Stay
right.
Stay focused.
And there's OG hitting the final free throw.
Sorry. Oh, why don't you get it? Were you Doris Burke?
Yeah. Well, we didn't have... The Villanova guys, they're amazing, aren't they?
Stiller in favor.
You want to talk about this Capri, the FTC? And,
yes,
Tapestry
I
and Capri.
Do, because it's about time that we talked about
it
that.
It is. It's an important moment again here in terms of antitrust, something we have talked about so consistently now for years. Of course, the FTC being more aggressive than we've seen in a long time under its leader Lina Khan. And they've come after what they call the accessible luxury market. That's not a market they made up. That's, in fact, what the companies involved here have been calling this market for some time. Accessible luxury handbags. And they say, it's going to create a colossus dwarfing all other market players. They go on to point out that accessible luxury is very distinct from what the parties and other industry players call luxury.
Or true luxury.
Yes. And these elite brands also claim affluent high-wealth consumers in contrast to the millions of working and middle-class clientele who comprise a large part of the customer base for Coach, Kate Spade, and, of course, Michael Kors, which is a part of the company being acquired here, which is Capri by Tapestry. And the price was $57 a share. You can see when we look at the stock, it is well below that. But there is believed to be even more downside if, in fact, this deal were to be upheld by a court. Let me give you a few things here. First of all, it was a 5-0 vote from the commissioners.
Right.
There are two Republicans. They were appointed by President Biden. Nonetheless, interesting to see a 5-0 vote from the commissioners. It's not that often that you see that, or at least when you've got two of the five are Republicans. The level of redactions in the complaint itself is very high, so it's tough to gauge the level of bad documents that they're relying on, bad in terms of bad for Tapestry and Capri, because it points to a lot of different competitive things that they may have been sharing. And then, of course, they're going to contest this market definition, even though it's their own, Jim. And they're going to say probably, listen, yeah, together we represent 50% of this market that you're making up, even though they, of course, have made it up themselves. But there are still 50% of that market that is made up of very serious competitors in all forms, although many of them, I'm told, do not have brick-and-mortar stores. So market definition will be important, and we'll have to wait and see.
I'm for the FTC on this.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. Because there was a very well-written brief.
Wow, I did not expect
that. No, I am. And the most important thing is the competition between the parties today benefit not just consumers, but other constituencies such as employees. The fact is that I have been not that big a fan of the FTC because I didn't think they care as much about the consumers. They care about other constituencies. This was spot on. I did not realize how concentrated this business is. I think it would be very difficult to be able to get a lot of floor space. And these two companies, they go at it hammer and tongs.
Yeah.
So we actually have a consumer benefits from this. So I'm with the FTC on this. That's interesting because the Republicans are too.
Yeah.
Because this has to do with the consumer, which is what I really care about.
Well, apparently what they're claiming is the middle class consumer who buys these accessible luxury brands. For their part, I don't know if we had anything from the companies. They're saying there's no question this is pro-competitive, pro-consumer deal. The FTC fundamentally misunderstands both the marketplace and the way in which consumers shop. And they say both companies operate in an intensely competitive and highly fragmented industry alongside hundreds of rival brands, including both established players and new entrants.
Well,
it will be an interesting one to watch. They've got a judge, Judge Codal. He was a Clinton appointee in the U.S. District Judge for the Southern District. So it is here, not far from here in New York. Started in September of 94. And has worked on a number of important cases. Let me give you a quick rundown on Codal, just if you want to actually try and figure that out. No antitrust opinions, at least, is a first quick look. He did dismiss the DNC suit against WikiLeaks, Russian Trump campaign as well, alleging Russian interference in the 2016 election. So, people are looking at his decisions to try and figure out where he's going to come down, Jim.
Do you see numeral five here? The proposed acquisition will eliminate direct head-to-head competition. David, then it's all redacted. I think they've got a home run
here.
There's
so many redactions, and that does point to
the FTC.
It's tough to gauge what
I think the FTC has documents. I think they've got good
stuff. The question is how many are really bad for the defendants.
I'm against head-to-head competition combining because that's what happened with the airlines. Now, you can say, obviously, it's a fractured market.
Right.
But this is a very well-reasoned brief, and it is true that the consumers benefited from head-to-head. I like anything the FTC does that's pro-consumer, I'm all in favor of. But I just think they haven't done
enough. You're nothing if not surprising sometimes, Jim. And let's not forget, he did go to law school.
I didn't go to law school to get stupid.
No.
There you go.
Jim, some of the biggest earnings gainers we've not mentioned, that is Danaher, number one S&P-er.
Thank you.
Quest and KMB.
All right, so let's go. Danaher is one of my largest positions for my charitable trust. I have waited, and I even mentioned it to Larry Culp today because, he did that deal. I have waited and waited and waited for this company to have the inflection, and this is the inflection. The inflection is that they do equipment that's really great for biotechs, and there have been enough new biotechs, companies that came public that have money, that they are now finally doing what I thought they would do, which is to go to Danaher, buy the equipment that you need to sequence, buy the equipment that you need to be able to develop really good new drugs. And this stock, dare I say, is just, this is day one of a very big move. Now, it is a Chapel Trust name. I do have my club meeting tomorrow at 12 o'clock. But this is one that I said, there's going to be an inflection point, and you have to be in ahead of it, because if you're not, you're not going to be able to catch it. And that's exactly what happened.
It's
and Danaher, you know that Danaher's a well-run company, David.
It is, but it's been, I mean...
Renee's good, Renee Blair.
Shareholders became so accustomed for so many years for just nothing but an incredible performance and stock price, and that changed over the last couple
Two
of years.
Two and a half years.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
I would point out shares of TMO, are also... up on the back of these
they're
numbers, right?
Doppelganger there.
Yeah.
But I just think that David's absolutely right. My trouble, of course, we bought some Danaher when it was down, but it has been a huge struggle because, Carl, these guys were in the never-miss category, and that's why they had such a high multiple. And I think this is the beginning back to the never-miss. because there's so much money coming into biotechs. We see that all the time now. We see the deals work. Doesn't hurt that they report on the same day as a Novartis, which is pretty good. But I just am very glad that these guys who have been like clockwork are back. Danaher's back.
Let's get some PMIs this morning as well. And welcome back Rick Santelli. Hey, Rick.
Hi, Carl. Indeed, we're looking at markets moving on these data points. S&P Global PMIs, we know manufacturing's been a bit bumpy. We had 3 months above 50, but not this month. We break the streak, 49.9, and interest rates have dropped about 3 or 4 basis points on the 10s, and the 2s, of course, moving further away from 5%. 49.9, that's the first read under 50 since the end of last year when we were at 47.9. Now, we know that the service sector has been much stronger, and we now have 15 above 50. That's 1.5 above 50, but still a disappointment. 50.9, we're looking for number 52 or higher. And if we look at the composite, also the 15th consecutive month above 50, but also a weaker read, 50.9 on both services and composite. 50.9 is the weakest. Well, you have to go back to November of last year. So we are watching rates drop. We have a 2-year note auction at 1 Eastern, the biggest ever at $69 billion. That's going to be something to pay attention to. Squawk on the Street will return after a short break.
Watch ARK today. Jim mentioned Kathy Wood buying some Tesla in recent days, but tough piece in the Journal this morning looking at the $2.2 billion in net outflows so far this year, which more than surpasses the total from 2023. Meantime, Dow's up 155, inching back to 50-50, just a few points shy. Stop Trading with Jim's coming up next. Time for Jim and Stop Trading.
Reminds me of when I was in Guys and Dolls. I got a horse right here. Its name is ServiceNow. Reports tomorrow. And I think it's going to be blowout. I didn't want to go out on a limb other than the fact that SAP had an amazing quarter. That was Bill McDermott's previous company. Really an amazing quarter and using a lot of AI as a ServiceNow. SAP on tonight for Mad Money. And I think that you buy ServiceNow at 733 and 735 now. And I think you make some money.
Are you more Sky Masterson or Nicely Nicely?
No, I was Harry the Horse.
Ah, nice.
Second rate. Second, you know how when you go out for the big one and you just don't get it? Just so bad.
Jim, tonight?
Okay, so I have Nucor, which has got Nucor actually missed the quarter. And they had some reasons that had to do with internal, but some of the pricing didn't hold up, a la Cleveland Cliffs.
We actually have a minute here. Nucor and Cleveland Cliffs both down. Cleveland Cliffs down about 8%.
March was a bad month in this country. That's my theme.
Obviously, March was a weak reiterating month. On the call all the reasons why. Yeah. Nippon will not succeed in buying U.S. Steel.
Right.
But
that was a pretty great quarter.
But what about the overall business for Nucor and Cleveland?
Well, yeah. Nucor, I'm going to challenge him. I think that Nucor March was not that good on a series of grades of steel. I think that this is just like the PMI that Rick talked about. The PMI was weak. I think the Fed's going to get bailed out here. No one's thinking that. I'm going there. I would like to see the home builders get hurt. We need shelter to come down. Shelter has not come down.
Actually, Morgan Stanley, nice chart today looking at leading indicators of shelter. Second half, they think, will lead to more disinflation.
Then you're okay. Then we're home free.
Yeah.
You're home free and you want to buy them after we have another touch. We had a big oversold, then we're bouncing back, and then we're going to have another oversold. It's going to be the same situation that we had last October. And I think that after the second decline down, you're going to be so tempted. You got to wait for a third decline. Everything will depend on, in the end, NVIDIA, which if you go listen to his amazing discussion at Oregon State that he had with the president of Oregon State, you will realize why Jensen Huang is the most brilliant man in the world today. Not Mr. 50, but the $56 billion man?
He's not anymore. The compensation for Elon has come down to like 46, maybe even less, given the decline in Tesla stock price.
That's the problem with America. Wouldn't it have been great if he had made 56? That's what we're talking about. That's America, Mr. Handbag.
I'm Mr. Handbag.
Mr. Handbag. Oh,
thank you.
I'm bringing in Michael Kors tomorrow. You can see why the FTC's dead right on this.
Jim Cramer aligning with Lena Khan.
Yes.
Miracles will never cease.
Khan, Cantor, Wu, and Cramer.
You betcha.
Attorneys at law.
Yeah.
You betcha. There's a firm.
Fighting.
The defenders.
Fighting for middle-class accessible handbaggery.
Jim, we'll see you at 6. Mad Money, of course, 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.